This is a Main Hustle Media podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Jackie O, and you're listening to Militantly Mixed.
Yo, this is Rashani from the Single Simulcast. And when I'm not making you laugh or making up parody songs, I'm kicking back, listening to Militantly Mixed.
Main Hustle Media podcasts are recorded on the ancestral lands of the Chumash, Tongva, Hohokam, and Yucateco Maya people. And we wish to pay our respects to the people of those nations, both past and present. Konnichiwa, what's up, cousins? Welcome to Militantly Mixed, the podcast about race and identity from the mixed race perspective. I am your Saranti, Charmaine Fury, a.k.a. The Blazing Blurred. Last week, I had released the last interview episode that I had recorded for the previous season that didn't make it in before I went on my mental health hiatus. It had been my intention to immediately start scheduling interviews with folks to record regular episodes of Militantly Mixed for this season. Some I had scheduled, some are into the future, but I was looking for some to schedule for the immediate future. And with everything that's happening in the world right now, understandably, for my portion of it, I am finding it difficult to schedule Militantly Mixed episode discussions, one-on-one talks, where I could focus on the person who is my guest. And so I feel like I would be doing a disservice to those I invite to the show right now because my mind is in Gaza. I've also been in talks with some people to be on the show, and like me, because they are in some form of an activist space or some form of a liberation space, they don't feel like they can handle having a conversation about just mixedness right now either. And while we could use those as opportunities to have discussions about what's happening in Gaza, none of us are Palestinian. None of us are Israeli. And we certainly can't talk about it from the perspective of someone that's going through what they're going through. It also feels gross to me if I were to try to specifically reach out to people of mixed Israeli and mixed Palestinian heritage and bring them on the show and have them talk about how they're feeling and how they're holding up and what their mixedness is like and how does it conflict and everything with what's going on. Not to say that if someone reached out to me and wanted to be on the show that I wouldn't consider, but I can't be the one that seeks out people that way. That feels gross. And what I'm reminded of in the way that I'm feeling right now and the way that I'm trying to figure out how to be a presence in this is not very different from how I felt during the summer of 2020. Some of you who've been with me for a long time might remember that after the murder of George Floyd by the police and during the subsequent uprisings that were occurring all over really the world, but because I was in the U.S. at the time, I'll talk specifically about the U.S. During the very first year of the COVID pandemic and frankly happening while quarantine was still in place in a lot of places. And I couldn't at that time either just record casual discussions about mixedness with people if there wasn't some sort of social justice element to it. And I did have some social justice conversations with folks. I had some mental health conversations with folks. But to have like a quote regular episode of Militantly Mixed, I wasn't in a headspace that I felt like I could handle it. And I also didn't think it would have been fair to any guests that I would have had at that time to just try to focus on them and their mixedness when my heart and my head was in the uprisings. And I didn't have any pushback. I didn't have any people that were like, you should interview me right now. It wasn't like that. It's just that that's where I was. And so the episodes during that time period shifted. And I was focusing on what I referred to as my more activism type episodes, in which, while it was majority just me talking, it was a way that I was actively using the show to process where I was and what I was feeling. And also to do a little bit of education where I had some form of knowledge. I have described myself, in terms of activism, I have described myself as an elevator, meaning that I know now, it took a while, but it was really during the post-George Floyd murder era that I realized I do not have the physical capacity and stamina to be a boots on the ground protester. My abilities, some of my physical limitations in that, and they're not dramatic, but I have bad feet, ankles, and knees from dance injuries and genetics. I have tendonitis in my wrists, and I'm not physically very athletic. And so I feel like in some situations, I put whoever's around me at risk to have to take care of me if something were to go down. And so while I have been to some marches and I have participated into some physical spaces, I understand that if I end up in a dangerous situation, I'm either on my own or I put somebody at risk trying to protect me. And that is not healthy for the movement either. And it took a long time to come to terms with that. But once I was able, I talked to other activists. I spoke to people about, you know, what do you do if you have some kind of impairment that way to still be a part of the movement. And most organizers have said the same thing, which we need all positions filled. You don't always have to be a boots on the ground physical protester. Some people need to be the letter writers, the phone callers, the food bringers, the drivers, you know, out of places, the event organizers, social media people. There's so many other roles that you can play that don't necessarily require you to physically be in those spaces. And in hearing that, it became clear that the position that I filled, the one that made the most sense and the one that I was already actively doing, was elevating. Using the digital platform that I created to elevate what was happening in the world. And whether that is to bring someone on the show to discuss certain things that are happening or to talk about the things that I know about, these are ways in which I am doing liberation work at my level, at my skill level and at my ability level and everything. And so that's what was happening during the summer of 2020. I was using the show as an opportunity to talk about what was happening in the world and what I have witnessed my entire life as a mixed Black kid from Long Beach. In my lifetime, I have seen several, like, quote, riots happen, including a major one at a very pivotal time in my life when I was 12 years old, what's known as the LA riots, after Rodney King was beat by the police officers that were acquitted, and areas in Los Angeles, Long Beach, all the way throughout that area, that region, had some form of riot-like protest. It was dangerous. People died. And I was a 12-year-old running home from the bus stop, from where the bus stopped, trying to get to safety. And what I saw during that time, what I witnessed is part of what sowed the seeds for me to become a person that identifies as a liberationist and as a racial militant. So Militantly Mixed itself was created for two things. It was to fill the gap that I was experiencing of mixed community. Because as I've said on the show many times, I have two biracial parents. All my aunts and uncles are mixed. My cousins are mixed. And I was a military kid, so I was always around mixed folks. I had a lot of mixed community growing up. And then I became an adult and I didn't really have much at all. And I was craving that familiarity with other mixed people. And so I started the show so that I could have and rebuild that sense of community. Now, I could have called the show anything. There's a lot of clever names out there for mixed podcasts now. But at the time, there were no mixed podcasts. And what made the most sense to me was what I had always viewed myself as and what I had already had handles for and everything, militantly mixed, because that is what I am. I am for the community. I do service to the community. Everything that I put into this work is an elevation of my community. That encompasses mixed folks. That encompasses the Black community, the Asian American community, the queer community. And because those are my causes, I guess, if you want to call it that, it's only natural that all the oppressed people's causes are my cause. The treatment of the indigenous people in the land that's currently referred to as the United States, those are my people too. They're not ethnically my people, they're not culturally my people, but they are an oppressed people, so they are my people. And so Militantly Mixed served a purpose to show that racial militancy looks different in a lot of different ways. It's not always the Black Panthers. Even the Black Panthers weren't always the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers were originally there to provide food to children before they went to school, to provide protection to women and elders in the community when they didn't feel like they could get home safe, to elevate and protect the community at large, the Black community at large. Now, they became what is viewed as this militarized, militant organization over time because of the outside forces that were persecuting them. The regular ass people, white people that were showing up with guns, the police force, the Ku Klux Klan, et cetera, things like that. That is what made them what became their reputation of this militarized militant organization. But all these racial movements start from oppression. The Chicano movement in California in the 60s, that also started because of racial oppression and forced assimilation, and they fought against that. They also wanted to protect the migrant farmers and the agricultural people. They wanted to preserve culture and community in safety on a land that their ancestors had existed on far longer than white people had. And yet they were now the minority and they were the repressed class. Multiple civil rights movements throughout time in the United States in particular, which is the country that I was born in, so it's the one I'm talking about, start because of racial persecution and grow from there. And every community also includes their intersections, their women, their queer folks, their disabled folks, etc. So that's my origins. That's where I come from. Those are the people I come from, and those are the people that, regardless of whether or not I share an ethnic or cultural tie to, a gender tie to, a sexual orientation tie to, what have you, they're still my people. Oppressed people are my people, and I'm a liberationist. And that's what Militantly Mixed is about. And I show you through this show, through just having conversations with individual mixed people from around the world, I show you the humanity of mixed people through this platform, which is a form of racial militancy. It is a service to my community, and it is an education source for people who are willing to listen that are outside of the community. They don't get to engage or comment on what we are doing. They can't change what we're doing, but they can sit and listen. This is my form of racial militancy that I do with Militantly Mixed. So with that being the history of the show and the creation of the show and the history of me, the creation of the person that I am today, I am a liberationist who uses this platform to elevate and uplift and create an archive of existence for mixed people, but by extension, all the communities that we come from, in particular, those communities that are oppressed in some form. So if that's my origin, if that's who I come from, then how can I look at what's happening in Gaza right now and not see my people? Now, I don't share an ethnic tie to them. I don't share a cultural tie to them outside of the fact that I have a husband who is an ethnic Palestinian person. Again, he was also not raised in the culture. We didn't meet that side of the family until we were 29 years old. Since then, I've had some exposure to a little bit of food, a little bit of culture, and a little bit of information. Not much, but a little bit. It hasn't been that long. And, you know, when you don't know your biological father for 29 years, you don't just become one big happy family when you meet. So I don't share that tie ethnically or culturally beyond just the humanity of them. But they are my people because they are oppressed people. And there are people that are trying to survive by any means. And so when I see the systematic ethnic cleansing, apartheid, genocide that is happening to them, they are my fucking people. And I'm going to use Militantly Mixed to uplift their stories. And I'll use myself to bear witness to what they're experiencing, so that when they're gone, which what seems to be is going to happen, someone will know what happened to them, hopefully, through the multiple platforms that are out there, but also for Militantly Mixed. Earlier today, the day that I'm recording, I had finally posted the message that that was declaring publicly, outside of the episode I recorded last week, where I do have a brief discussion or a brief acknowledgement on what was happening at the time, what is happening now. And then on Tuesday of last week, I also talked about it with my co-host on Blurred Comics for a little while. Those to me felt like very small entrances, I guess, into this greater discussion. One that I feel really unprepared to discuss. But I was really struggling with and mad at myself that I hadn't been more publicly declaring in a very clear way my stance beyond those two things, which not everybody who consumes Militantly Mixed necessarily consumes the show every week, or Blurred Comics. That's a nerd podcast. We talk about cosplay and comics and pop culture and things like that. So they might not be thinking about me in that form either. And then in social media, I was only sharing other people's posts and mostly just directly to the stories, not even necessarily on my own pages on TikTok and on Instagram and Facebook and such. And I was feeling mad at myself about it, but I just couldn't. Every time I tried to put words down, I couldn't figure out what to say. Everything felt too small. But I'm watching these firsthand accounts, these videos of people that are in Gaza right now and what they're experiencing, watching them be bombing and hearing the pledges, the pleadings to bear witness and to not let them die silently. And I realized I was fucking up and not even releasing the imperfect statement. So I finally posted my statement, and I didn't expect to not receive any pushback. I absolutely expected pushback. And I'm also not surprised by what the people that are pushing back are saying. But I want to take this opportunity to talk a little bit about some of those things, because some of that is hard to convey in writing. Some of it's hard to convey on just a post on Instagram or a comment thread or something like that. And I welcome this discussion in a greater format. But like I said, I'm not going to be actively sliding into the DMs of Palestinians and Israelis right now and say, hey, can you come on the show and talk about the pain you're experiencing right now? I'm not going to do that. So I thought I might read what I posted and then talk a little bit about the pushback that I was getting. So this is over three slides. It's that I've written out, but it's spread out over three slides in the image and then also copied into the body of the caption. It is longer than the caption character count allows, so I have it continued on to the comments. It starts with militantly mixed stands with Palestine. For the last week, I have been sharing and elevating posts of others that are more informed than myself about the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza by the colonizing Zionist state of Israel, in my Instagram stories and on TikTok, on my personal, professional, and podcast accounts. And with the exception of my brief words at the start of last week's episode of Militantly Mixed and the conversation I had with my co-host on Blurred Comics, I haven't found the best way to publicly express what I, Charmaine, and what Militantly Mixed, the show, need to say. I feel, like many, ill-equipped to dive into the larger discussion about Israelis' apartheid against Palestine, but what I have failed to do is the easiest thing to do, and that is to post a clear message of where I stand and what Militantly Mixed represents, not just in the IG stories. And that is, I, Charmaine, unequivocally condemn Israel's apartheid, ethnic cleansing, and genocide of Palestine and the Palestinian people. Full stop. I condemn Zionist Israel for their crimes against humanity. I condemn the United States and President Biden for financing Israel's apartheid, ethnic cleansing, and genocide of Palestine and of the Palestinian people with American tax dollars, and for vetoing the UN resolution to condemn the violence against civilians in the Israeli-Hamas war. I am watching while representatives of nations around the world that have experienced colonization, apartheid, and other atrocities at the hands of oppressors be able to stand up and declare without difficulty or waiver that they condemn the actions of Zionist Israel. I am watching normal, everyday people from all over the world take to social media and declare without difficulty or waiver that they condemn the actions of Zionist Israel. But the government of the country that I was born in, whom enslaved people from West and Central Africa, including my ancestors, who committed similar ethnic cleansing and genocides of our indigenous people, are upholding and financing further colonization, ethnic cleansing, and genocide in Palestine. I am angry, I am horrified, and I am without the power to stop or to help in a meaningful way the people of Palestine. But I will stand in solidarity with the oppressed people, and I will work hard to stay informed and correct misinformation as I encounter it, and I will bear witness. To the atrocities. And I will continue to use my voice and my platform to call for the liberation of Palestine. And I posted this on Militantly Mixed and on the Blaze and Blurred, my professional / personal Instagram page, and on my TikTok for Militantly Mixed and the Blaze and Blurred, and on Facebook as well. And, you know, I anticipated that there would be some pushback in some cases if because this is such an emotional issue, and because in-group, out-group is so powerful of a oppressor tool, that to see a person stand for Palestine could trigger in some people a belief that I am doing something racial. Not racist, I'm saying racial. I expect that to happen because it's a very natural thing for humans to do. But I also expect that we pause and we pay attention and we listen and we read or we reread or whatever we need to do to make sure before we go after someone that they mean exactly what you think they mean. Because what I mean is what I said. At no point in that message do I reference the race, ethnicity, or culture of Jewish people, of Israelis, or of Hebrew-identified people, nor do I refer to the race or ethnicity or culture of Palestinian, Arab, or Middle Eastern-identified people. I am talking about the Zionist colonizing state of Israel and the current group of oppressed people in that country that just so happen to be Palestinians. It's not about their race or their ethnicity or their religion. It is about an oppressor and the oppressed group. And I am opposed to oppression of a group of people. In this particular case, this issue, this greater issue, is a racial issue. In that an apartheid specifically is the oppression of people based on their race or ethnicity, which is what is exactly happening in Israel right now. It is an apartheid state. This has been, I don't know if this is the right word for it, certified by multiple human rights organizations, including Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and multiple countries throughout the world acknowledge that what is existing in that land is an apartheid. Separate from that is the current atrocity that is being committed, which is hard to separate from the 75 years worth of atrocities. But this specific thing that we're in right now is triggered from an event that occurred on October 7th, in which a music festival on the Israeli side of the wall was attacked by Hamas. Multiple hostages were taken, missiles were launched, people died, people were kidnapped, held hostage. That event is what's triggering the current iteration of this set of atrocities, but it is a smaller part of the greater colonization and ethnic cleansing and genocide of Palestinians, Palestine. In response to the events that occurred on October 7th, Israel did not attack strategic Hamas bases or I don't know if you call them bases necessarily. They attacked civilians. They are counting on the PR work that they've been doing for so long for the world to also see these people that they have stuck in concentration camps without the ability to leave on their own accord, self-govern, rely fully on resources being given to them, not that they can take in themselves. They're counting on us to not view them as human so that we can justify what is happening to them because of the actions of a religious, political, militarized group that is not the governing body of the Palestinian people. They are not the government of Palestine. This is not a war of two armies or two militaries. This is a war of one government and military against an organization that is born of the colonization and oppression of Palestinian people. And going back to all the other civil rights movements that I mentioned earlier in the United States, it didn't matter in the 60s if you were a peaceful, nonviolent protester against civil rights violations, or a willing to be violent if pushed protester of civil rights violations. If you were a marcher, or if you were actively trying to change policy in some way, shape, or form, it did not matter what way you protested. You were dehumanized and viewed as an enemy of the state so that they could kill you, so that they could harm. We have countless of images, film footage, and photographs of Black people in the 60s being sprayed with water hose, chased by dogs, beaten by police in full riot gear, beaten by citizens with sticks and guns and whatever they had available to them. Because the PR was so good of dehumanizing Black people, regular ass people could jump in just fine and hold up the regime. That is also happening to the Palestinian people using different tools. That's the wrong word. Same tools are being implemented. Same strategies are being implemented. Missiles are now in the game, I guess, in comparison to what happened in the United States in most Black communities. Although many Black communities in the United States were bombed, this is a different level, I guess, is what I want to say. So I want it to be clear. With Militantly Mixed, nothing's changed. The mission hasn't changed. Militantly Mixed, whilst mostly was created to be of service to the mixed community, that doesn't stop with mixed people. That doesn't focus solely on mixed people when it comes to oppression. Now, there is not necessarily academic, because I'm not an academic, but there is something of an archival element of Militantly Mixed in that in collecting the stories that mixed people are willing to share with me, there's now a historical record available about what it generally is to be mixed, depending on the people that have come on the show. Various racial mixes, ethnicity mixes, cultural mixes, ages, countries, etc. That's sort of the semi-academic / archival version of the show. The other element of the show is that in learning about other people, the ability to dehumanize and make them an other gets harder. And that is a goal for this show. You hear us talk about things like the language that people use to describe mixed people, or the language that we use to describe ourselves, taking ownership of how we are described and pushing back when someone tries to tell us what we are. Because you're going to see me as I tell you I am, not the other way around. And that pushback, while uncomfortable, and while a lot of us will still be in that phase, I think, of just letting it go, don't make waves, da-da-da-da-da, this is a tool of oppression that is being imposed on us. And so while it can't be everybody, and that is understandable, for the people who can, they speak up, they combat, they do the work to change the narrative. And when you can do it, you will. And if you can't, you'll work on the things you have the time to work on yourself, to work on the things to claim yourself and to claim your identity. And I want and hope that Militantly Mixed is a part of that process for people, because the more you hear people talk about what it is to be mixed, the more inclined you might be one day. And I know that to be true because of how many people have told me I would have never had this conversation with my mom had I not been on your show first. Or I was empowered to embrace my mixedness more because I heard how many other people had a life experience similar to mine. So I know that that work has worked with the show. Now, in the other parts of the show where atrocities are being committed around the world, and mind you, I know I'm not informed enough to catch all of them. It's usually the ones that are making the biggest news as a given period of time that I become aware of. But just in the time of the show's existence, there have been countless refugee situations across South America, across the Middle East, across Asia and South Asia, the Ukraine even. Some make it into the public eye better than others, and some make it to me better than others. And this is one that obviously hits me because it's so big, but also I have over the years tuned my social media algorithms towards certain people and certain conflicts based off of things that I have experienced and understand happens in the world. Now, my partner is an ethnic Palestinian person who doesn't know anything about Palestinian culture or Palestine. I start paying attention so that I can learn a little bit about him. Maybe in doing so, I learn stuff about him that he's not even aware of. That stuff that's just kind of passed on by generation to generation that exists in you, and you don't really understand it to be connected to anything. You think you're just who you are, but you could be exhibiting something that your great-grandfather did, or, you know, those ancestral things that we talk about passing on. So I'm aware and I pay attention to Palestine now because of that. True. I also am unaware and pay attention to what was happening at the U.S. border to Mexico, to the Guatemalans and the Ecuadorians and the Mexicans and other people from Latin America that were trying to get to the U.S. for safety. I didn't have an ethnic or cultural tie. I didn't even have the inkling that I was planning on eventually going to move to Mexico. That wasn't even there. But as an American from the southern part of the western part of the United States, that issue is a part of my awareness because I'm around people who experience that life. I grew up in Southern California. I've also lived in Texas a couple of times. So that became my people. Even though they're not technically my ethnic or cultural people, they became my people because they are oppressed. And I was watching in real time children and people who didn't speak the language fleeing multiple forms of oppression, of fleeing murder, fleeing all kinds of things in the hopes to save their families, save themselves, whatever. I was watching that happen in real time. So I tuned my social media algorithm to continue to stay up on it because even though it's not as much in the news right now, it's still fucking happening. Right now, Guatemala is striking and doing roadblocks across their major cities because one of their politicians is trying to take over the government from the voted in person. That's hardly in the news right now. It's happening. And the reason why I have even the inkling of awareness of it is because I have a friend that's there, that was there. They have since left and are in safety somewhere else, but they were in Guatemala just trying to live their life to try to see where they want to be. They were here in Mexico for a while, now they're in Guatemala, or then they were in Guatemala, now they've moved on. And I wouldn't have known about that, probably, had that not happened. I had no awareness, and now I do. This is what I'm asking of the people who listen to Militantly Mixed, that you stay vigilant in the fight against oppression and the fight for liberation. And that isn't just about what group you come from. It's about oppressed people from around the world. In my lifetime, I've watched the apartheid state of South Africa, I want to say end in quotation fingers, because there's still somewhat of an ethnic apartheid, although the power dynamic has shifted to a degree. And they just, I mean, it's only been 20 or so years since that's happened. So they have a long way to go to fix the harms of the past. We're watching that in real time right now with Palestinians as well. And if our world powers, we should pay attention to the fact that so many countries that have oppressed people in it are calling out and condemning the United States, the UK, and Israel, and coming out in support of Palestine, South Africa, Ireland, Malaysia, being amongst the three most vocal, and the people that are saying the most actionable things about fighting against Israeli occupation of Palestinian people. But it's the U.S. and it's the U.K. that are saying, no, no, these people who have no governance, no military to defend themselves, no resources that they control, are somehow the bigger enemy, the bigger threat. I don't expect everybody who listens to the show to agree with me personally. I don't expect everybody who listens to the show to agree with my politics. But what I do expect is that you can't take this show in segments. You can't be here just to hear the mixed people talk about being mixed and not be in support of oppressed people. And the reason why you can't separate those two things is because this show itself is an act of liberation. This is militantly mixed. It is about service to the mixed community, and it is about the liberation of oppressed people across the board. While militantly mixed does become bigger than me, bigger than the creator over time, the tenets don't change. I will stop doing the show before I allow the tenets of the show to change. Liberation of oppressed people, full stop, and creating community and safe spaces for mixed people to exist. These are tied things, and they will always be tied with militantly mixed. I had recorded more of the monologue, I guess, of the last 40 minutes that you've just been listening to. But I had been interrupted while I was recording, and then I had to take care of something related to that. So by the time I came back, I was a very distracted version of myself, and I don't feel like I was wrapping up the episode in a very clear manner. So I'm just jumping in right now to do that. I don't really know how to set expectations for the next few weeks of the show. I know that because I feel so similarly to how I did during the summer of 2020, I feel like there are some topics that can be discussed either solo or in community through Militantly Mixed for the next few weeks. So that's going to be the sort of area that I focus in and try to discuss topics in a more consumable and direct manner, focus on this topic and then cut out the noise for the other stuff, and then the next time I can do another topic, because this issue, this crisis that is happening right now, is there's so many elements to it. there's so many things happening that it's easy to get caught up in the noise and forget that the humanity is the important thing at the end of the day that we should be focusing on. And so in segmenting different topics related to it, it kind of makes the whole issue a little bit clearer. And I feel like that is probably the most effective and productive use of this platform and I guess myself, a way for me to be more productive with Militantly Mixed than with some of my other projects. That being said, I am in conversations with a couple of people to do some panel discussions that are related to mixed issues. But those, I'm looking at those to be happening in November and December. So once we schedule those, we'll still be able to record those and everything. I'm going to limit the one-on-one mixed person discussion episodes for a little bit while I process and while we are in this period of time where we're watching a genocide play out in real time. So with that being said, you know, I know I should still be doing this. It just feels really uncomfortable, but the Be Your Mixed Ass Self t-shirt is available on the Militantly Mixed website right now if you're interested in getting it. I'm also really struggling right now in particular to finish up the aspects of the book that need to be finished. That doesn't mean that the project is going away or stopping. It's just that a lot of the things that were written or some of the things that were written do talk about trauma and do talk about difficulties that some of the mixed folks who wrote are experiencing that bring what the current humanitarian crisis into play. Like, I can't cut off one to pay attention to the other. It bleeds together, and I feel like with the one-on-one interview episodes, I'm not devoting myself to the moment in reading and finishing up the edits on people's poems or stories. And I don't want to do that disservice to the cousins. I want to be my full and present self when I'm doing this so that I can put together this book in a way that is thoughtful and meaningful and honors the people who submitted. So I'm not pausing the book. I'm just struggling to finish, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I know I need to be doing that work. But like I said, it's difficult. So I'll have to evaluate and set new expectations for myself and for the completion. But by no means does that mean the book is going away. It's just that I'm really struggling to do the work at the moment. It's basically like pick your trauma today, or pick the trauma you're paying attention to today. For some of the pieces, not all of the pieces, but some of the pieces. And I want to be able to honor those people's experience and what they've been willing to share, by being more present for that. So stay tuned on that. But other than that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. So I don't even know what to say. I would normally say be your mixed ass self, but everything fucking seems just so small at the moment. So yeah, I guess I'll see y'all next week. And yeah.
Militantly Mixed is a Main Hustle Media podcast, produced and hosted by me, Charmaine Fury. Music is by David Bogan, the One. You can follow us on social media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Militantly Mixed. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Militantly Mixed, please go to patreon.com/militantlymixed for monthly sponsorship, or paypal.me/militantlymixed for a one-time only donation. And if you like what you hear on Militantly Mixed, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to be your mixed ass self. Main Hustle Media. Turn your side hustle into your main hustle.